Here's my main point this morning. Jesus rose from the dead so he could have breakfast with us. Now, I know you're going, that's fluff. Okay, stay with me here. Because as you read the scriptures, and if we truly believe that everything that he did was on purpose, was nothing haphazard, then we have to believe that Jesus rose, one of the reasons, not the only reason, one of the reasons is Jesus rose from the dead so he could have breakfast with us. Though the resurrection is key for us theologically, it's very important, and I talked about that a couple weeks ago. It risks being useless to us practically. Did you hear that? Though the resurrection is key to us theologically, it risks being useless to us practically. We could miss the real purpose of breakfast with Jesus. Now, I want to do a couple of things this morning. One is I want to read. It's important for us to just read in the scriptures. Then I want to encourage us this morning. And then I want to teach us a little bit here. So go with me if you have your Bibles here. And I don't have it up on PowerPoint. But I'm going to read it. So you can just follow along. In John chapter 20, verse 11, Jesus had just risen from the dead. A couple of disciples had gone to the empty tomb, and then Mary Magdalene is standing there, all discouraged, wondering what's going on. Verse 11 of chapter 20 in John. Mary was standing outside the tomb crying, and as she wept, she stooped into the empty tomb and looked in. She saw two white-robed angels, one standing at the head and the other at the foot of the place where the body of Jesus had been lying. So there would have been a kind of like a tablet, a table where he would have been lying. And one stood here at the feet, one stood at the head. But there was no Jesus. Dear woman, why are you crying? The angels asked her. Why are you crying? She says, because they had taken away my Lord, and I don't know where they had put him. She had come a couple of days earlier to help with putting together preparing his body for death. So she knew where it was, but now all of a sudden the body is gone. And she assumed somebody stole the body of Jesus. She then turned to leave, and saw someone standing there. So she goes outside of the tomb, and there's somebody standing there. She turned to leave and saw someone standing there. It was Jesus, but she didn't recognize him. Happened before. Dear woman, why are you crying? Again, why are you crying? Who are you looking for? She thought he was the gardener. So she said, if you've taken him away, tell me where you put him so I'll go and get him, and I'll put him back where he should be. He should be in a nice tomb, ready and laid to death. And I will go and get him. Jesus said, Mary. Can you imagine the tone? Mary. She turned to him and cried out, Teacher, don't cling to me, he says, for I haven't yet ascended to the Father, but go find my brothers and tell them, I am ascending to my Father and our Father, to my God and your God. My Father, your Father, Mary. My God, your God, Mary. And Mary Magdalene found the disciples and told them, I've seen the Lord. And she gave them the message. That Sunday evening, so he rose in the morning. That Sunday evening, the disciples were meeting behind locked doors because they were afraid of the Jewish leaders. Suddenly, Jesus was standing there among them, and he said, Peace be with you. Now, he says that a number of times, but notice that. Peace be with you. And as he spoke, he showed them the wounds in his hands, in his side, where he was speared from the Roman soldier. And they were filled with joy when they saw the Lord. And again, he said, Peace be with you. Be with you. Now, try to imagine. See, we read the story because we know how the story ends. But try to imagine the flip-flop of the disciples' emotions. They had seen him brutally tortured. They had seen him brutally hung on a cross. They've seen him brutally die. And they've been told there's going to be a resurrection, but after seeing all that, can you actually believe in a resurrection? And I really believe that even until he showed up, even they still didn't believe he had risen from the dead. And that's why he had to show them his wounds on his hands, probably his feet as well, even though it doesn't say it, his wound on his side. Look, it is actually me. It's actually me. I actually rose from the dead. So can you imagine the flip-flop of this? Like, I can't imagine how they would feel. They had joy. But he says, peace be with you. As the Father sent me, so I'm sending you. Then he breathed on them and he said, receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone's sins, they are forgiven. And if you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven. Move on, verse 24. One of the 12 disciples, Thomas, was not with the others when Jesus came. And they told him, we've seen the Lord. But he replied, I won't believe. I won't believe. It's not I can't believe. I won't believe. I won't believe it unless I see the nail wounds in his hand, put my fingers into them, and place my hand into the wounds of his side. The disciples had told him what they'd seen. I actually want to touch Jesus' wounds before I'll actually believe. 8 days later, the disciples were together again, and this time Thomas was with them. And the doors were locked, but suddenly, as before, Jesus was standing there among them. Going through the door. Can you imagine that? I think that's what he did. He didn't open up the door and walk in. He walked right through the door, and he's there physically. Can you all go? I can't. Like, it's crazy, but it's true. It's real. The doors were locked, but suddenly, as before, Jesus was standing among them. Peace be with you. Peace be with you. Why did he say peace? Why would he say that 3 times? Because of all the emotions, all the thoughts, all the questions, all the wonderings, and all the fear that they had about their faith. Jesus is dead. Now he's alive. Now what do we do? What do we do? All kinds of thoughts. And the encouragement to us is no matter what's going on in our lives, whatever worries, whatever fears, whatever questions, whatever doubts, he says, peace be with you. Because in anything going on in our lives, we need peace. Watching the Stanley Cup playoffs, there's a couple of times they zoomed in on a couple of the goalies. And a number of the goalies, as they watch them, all of a sudden they're standing there. The play's done, it's called. They're standing there and they bend their head a little bit, and then they close their eyes. Why are they doing that? You watch the Olympics. Before anyone does any race, they pause. They're quiet. Why? that moment. In their form, they need to focus, and they need to settle all the pressure. I don't think there's any greater pressure than an NHL goalie. I can't imagine. And they need to focus, and they need to have peace. And Jesus says to you and I as Christians, yes, I want to give you my peace, better peace. But in all our lives, in different instances, I need you to just bow your head. I need you to just focus on me. And as I prayed earlier, turn your eyes upon Jesus, look full in his wonderful face. And the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. That's how we can make it through whatever's going on in our lives. The good, the bad, the ugly, whatever's tough. Right before an exam, college students, high school students, you need to pause before you start writing. You need to pause and focus and ask Jesus for peace. Because most of us, when it comes to tests, are worried and anxious. Peace be with you. Now, let's move on here to John chapter 21. Let me teach you something here this morning. Verse 1, chapter 21. Later, Jesus appeared to the disciples beside the Sea of Galilee, and this is how it happened. Several of the disciples were there, several of them. Simon Peter, Thomas, Nathanael, the sons of Zebedee, James and John, and two other disciples which went unnamed. Simon Peter said to them, I'm going fishing. He didn't know what else to do. I'm going fishing. You want to come too? They said, we'll come too, they all said. So they went out in the boat, but they caught nothing all night. Imagine being on a boat all night, catching nothing. At dawn, Jesus was standing on the beach, but the disciples couldn't see who he was. They saw a man standing on the beach, but they couldn't see who he was. He called out, fellows, he called out, friends, have you caught any fish? Nothing haphazard, nothing accidental with anything that Jesus does. You have to see this. Did he happen to wake up from a good night's sleep that he had and decide to go for a walk and just happen to see a group of fishermen and go, who's it like my disciples? I wonder what they're doing. I wonder how their fishing is going. I don't think so. I believe he intentionally went along to the beach. He knew all night they were struggling. He was probably up on the hill close there watching them struggling, hearing them get mad at each other. Where's all the fish? And he walks along the beach. Hey guys, how's it going? You catching anything? I know you're not. Are you catching anything? Throw out your net on the right side of the boat and you'll get some. Same story happened in Luke chapter 5. Did the same thing. So they did, and they couldn't haul in the net because there were too many, so many fish in it. Then the disciple Jesus loved said to Peter, that was John, said to Peter, it's the Lord. When Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on his tunic for his strip for work and jumped in the water. They wore big tunics, so it'd be too much to work. So he took off the big tunic. It was an under tunic, or under clothing. Not just underwear, but an under clothing. But they had to strip it off to work. Jumped into the water and headed to shore. Yeah. See you guys, you carry on. I'm swimming to the beach there. For they were about 100 yards from shore. Dwight, how much from this wall to that wall? Is it 60 feet? About that, 60 feet, that's 20 yards. Okay, 20 yards. Five times that equals 100 yards. So you can imagine how far. It's almost to the boat, I think. Right? That's how far he swam. That's a lot. The others stayed in the boat and pulled the loaded net to the shore, and they were about 100 yards from shore, and when they got there, they found breakfast waiting for them, fish cooking over a charcoal fire and some bread. "Bring some fish you've just caught," Jesus said. So Simon Peter went aboard, dragged the net to shore. There are 153 fish there. I'm not going to get into the number 153. There's a whole bunch of theories. We'll just say for some reason they counted it. It was 153 of them. "Now come," look at what he says. "Nothing haphazard." I'm driving this here. "Now come and have some breakfast." Jesus had said, none of the disciples dared to ask, "Who are you?" They knew it was the Lord. Then Jesus served them bread and fish. And this was the third time Jesus had appeared to them. Now, notice this phrase here. In the New Living Translation, verse 13, it says, "Then Jesus served them the bread and fish." In several of the other translations, it expands it a little more. It says, "And Jesus served them bread." And then he served them fish. Does that sound familiar? Previously, where did he serve bread? You know it. No, it wasn't. 5,000 is right, but there's a different. The Last Supper. He served bread at the Last Supper. It's the same phrase here. He served them bread. All of a sudden they're going, whoa. But notice what he fed them was not wine. No mention of wine here. What did he feed them? Bread and fish. Now fish is, how many of you like fish? Okay, yeah, I kind of like fish. It's apparently one of the most healthy of foods. Good for all kinds of nutrients. All kinds of proteins. What he's doing here, this is what I think. What he's doing here is saying, here's bread. I want you to remember what I just did. But now I want you to have some fish. I want you to have some protein, because now we're going to start working. Now we're going to start building the church. Now we're going to start telling others about Jesus. He's saying, I need you to have protein. This breakfast is a pattern that I believe Jesus is saying. And so now I'm going to encourage you, don't worry about the word breakfast, unless you're in breakfast. But what I really believe Jesus is trying to teach us and teach the disciples, I want to meet with you every day. I want to sit with you for a few minutes every day. I want to talk with you. I want to visit with you. I was visiting with a neighbor the other day, and she was just sitting on her front porch on a nice rocking chair. That's what Jesus is looking for us to just sit with him, whether it's a rocking chair, whether it's at the breakfast nook, whether it's just having a cup of coffee, wherever it is. He just wants to sit with us every day and talk with us and encourage us. Maybe there's times when we need peace be with you, and we go through the whole day, where's the peace, where's the peace? And he's saying, would you just stop for a moment? And I'll give you some peace, but you have to stop. NHL goalie was not getting any peace while the pucks were flying at him. He had to stop and get peace. And he's saying, would you just find every day a time with me, and I will give you peace. And then I will feed you I will encourage you. I will teach you. I will show you how much I love you. I will be with you. I will help you. The point of the resurrection is so practical. Can you imagine what our faith would be like if Jesus had never risen from the dead? Think about that. Jesus had never risen from the dead. What would our faith be? If we had a faith at all. And there's many religions around the world that have a faith that follow a person that has died and never risen from the dead. And what has it become? Just doctrines and belief and no personal relationship. Jesus rose from the dead so he could have a personal relationship with every one of us. And he's inviting every one of us. He's inviting the whole world. I am risen so I can meet with you. I am risen so I can be with you. That's all it is. So, how do I move towards reflection and application? Will you have breakfast with Jesus? How do we look at, we often talk about devotions. How do we look at devotions? Do we look at it as a religious practice? A spiritual discipline? A simple habit? Yeah, there's times when we need to have that, so we'll actually have our regular times with Jesus. Or do we look at it a little more like a breakfast and a coffee? He just wants to be with us. Don't let the word devotions get in the way. Just with a cup of coffee, a Bible, maybe a journal, something to just sit with Jesus. Determine, this is what we can do. Determine to meet with Jesus. Make your time good. Look where it's good. Set a timer, even. 5-10 minutes. Extend it if you want. Force yourself to have, if you have to, I don't feel like doing it. How many times do we do things? We know we're good for us, eat your veggies. We know we're good for us. We have to force ourselves to do that. I don't always want to go for a run, but I force myself to go for a run. And while I'm running, I'm going, this is good. But I have to force myself. We have to do that with all kinds of things. And sometimes we have to do that. That's where we ask Jesus, give me joy in this. Help me to have a good time with you. What is it? Though the resurrection is key for us theologically, it risks being useless to us practically. And we could miss the real purpose of breakfast with Jesus. Cody, you want to come on up? I'll finish with these verses. John chapter 20, verse 30. The disciples saw Jesus do many other miraculous signs in addition to the ones recorded in the book of John, as John is writing. They saw many signs, verse 31. But these are written so that you and I will continue to believe. Sometimes we have doubts. Sometimes we have questions. But as we continue to meet with Jesus, we'll continue to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing in him, you will have life. Life by the power of his name. Let's pray, Jesus. Thank you that you rose from the dead. Thank you that you're alive. Thank you that you can and you want to meet with everyone else. Jesus, draw us into you. Help us to draw close to you. Help us, Jesus. We pray in your name. Amen.